Steve, here we are in the month of May, and you know that Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, has some blockbuster offers. Can you fill us in on some details?
Ira, the Memorial Day offers are running all month long at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Now, that's not next month. That's this month through May. Go to EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com, and of course, their dealership. You've been there, Causeway Boulevard. So easy to get to. 3 years of routine service, complimentary maintenance on all new 2019s. That's a tremendous value. And of course, everything comes with the Ed Morse Price Protection Promise. The offers are on the website, including 2019 Cadillac XT5, the beautiful crossover, $266 lease per month. All the details, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. And our good friends over at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Sage, General Manager Brian Danahy, he's reminding everybody, join the 1.2 million customers and counting backed by Morse. You know, Brian Danahy is part of the Ed Morse family, 73 years of Ed Morse quality and service across the state of Florida. And lease a 2019 Cadillac CTS sedan, just $329 a month during their Memorial Day event through May 31st at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, the gorgeous showroom out there. All the offers are on the websites, EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. Start your shopping right there. If you're in Brandon, out that way, EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. Tremendous pre-owned selection. We know how much they support you, Ira.
I've had enough of this Elantra stuff. It's a good car, but I want my Cadillac, Isbits. I want my Escalade. I want this. I want that.
The Ira Kaufman Podcast, it is on. The Sage of Tampa Bay Sports is in the house, presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. I'm Steve Isbits of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeKemper is here, shuffling in momentarily, along with intern Zach Seifter. How about that? But the Sage.
I saw his byline the other day. I'm proud of the boy.
The Sage has been counseling the young man. But Ira is here. How are you, Ira? Good to see you.
I'm doing well, Steve. Here we are standing outside beautiful One Buck Place. The flag is unfurling, Steve, right behind us. No, it is not at half-mast Buck fans. It is not. We're standing in the grass. The gnats are biting at my ankles. But do you care? No. We do this podcast for our loyal listeners, and we love all of them.
We're just taking a little break at minicamp practice here today, Ira, and of course, you have somewhere to go. You're the only guy who arrives. You arrive 3 hours after me and Lee at One Buck, and the first thing you say to me, get me out of here early.
Very first thing. That's invoking executive privilege.
I got a party to go to. It's a night party. I got a show.
It's a benefit. It's a benefit for Joey Johnston's son, who was injured seriously in a diving accident last summer.
Tragic story, and we wish him nothing but the best, and small improvement. That's just the way those things go. But Ira, listen, we have got Memorial Day offers at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon that run till the end of the month, but not a moment past. We encourage everybody to head to EdMorseCadillacTampa.com, EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com, and Ira, that's where you see the offers. Schedule a test drive, get out there, shop online. You know how it goes. Let me give you a little quiz, Ira. Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, what boulevard are they on?
Causeway Boulevard.
There you go.
Thank you.
Very good, Ira. And Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of?
275, my friend. 275 and right there on Fletcher.
Yes, Fletcher. And since it's a
I'm acing this test.
It's a Tribune fundraiser, so is Larry Fletcher going to be there?
He said he would be there.
Say hello to him for me.
Thank you, my
one
friend.
One of my few allies at the Tribune years ago.
Right. You made quite an impression in your short stint at the Tribune, Stevie.
All right, Sage. Now, enough of that.
What's going on with your football team, Steven? That's the question.
Well, you know, of course, look, we're here. It's May, but I wanted to run this past you, Ira. You know, these rookies are out here, Devin White, doing his thing yesterday. First day, Arians was asked about his leadership because, you know, Arians went on Sirius Radio and said one of the big reasons that White was drafted was leadership.
That's right.
Big factor.
That's right.
Now, that's a big thing for a coach to say about a rookie coming in, and he said he expects him to lead like Tyrann Mathieu did. So Arians was asked yesterday about White's leadership. Are you seeing it already? And you know what? Some of the players said they are, and Arians seemed happy about it.
You know, Steve, my interpretation is when it became clear that Quan Alexander was going to move on as a free agent, Arians and Light had a serious, sober discussion, and it went something like this. Arians to Light, what are we going to miss the most about Quan Alexander? His tackles, his this, his that. And Light said, leadership. That's what we're going to miss. And all of a sudden, Arians realized, well, JP might be our best player. Levante David might be our best player on defense, but they're not natural leaders. They're not vocal. They don't embrace that role. I got to have somebody for Todd Bowles to have on that other side of the ball. And, I mean, they love Devin White's skill package, Steve. But without the intangible of leadership, I'm not sure they would have taken Devin White at number five. I think it was a big, big factor.
It sure seems that way, which is interesting because often you hear veteran players or really players of all kinds say, hey, you can't force leadership. You have to let it evolve. But with Devin White, they want it from day one, and that's just a different kind of thing. We've talked about the pressure on the kid.
It's not ideal, Steve, that you want to put that kind of a burden on a guy who hasn't made his first NFL tackle and hasn't signed his first pro contract, but it's where they are, Steve. It's just where the Bucs are. You're not going to rely on Justin Evans to take command over there or Vita Vea. So it's going to be the guy standing in the middle of that Buck defense with Levante David, a calming influence on Devin White when he tries to do a little bit too much, which is very common for rookies.
I think you can't draft Devin White if Levante David is a different type of personality, because essentially they're expecting White to come in, stand right next to Levante David, a guy White's going to be leaning on every day, yet White is the one expected to take over the team and make it his. Interesting dynamic.
And you're right. And Levante David doesn't have that supersized ego that's going to resent Devin White coming in here the first day and being recognized as the leader of this unit. Levante David's seen a lot since 2012, Steve, when he first became a Buccaneer. He's been a very good Buccaneer. It is remarkable, as consistent as he's been. He's had some statistical anomaly seasons, especially 2013 under Schiano's group. The guy was fantastic. Remember, he had the 7 sacks and the 5 intercepts. Good personality mesh, Steve. That point you made is a good one. The mesh between David and Devin White, who's outgoing. I think David is the type that he'll accept anything that comes his way. All he wants to do is win. Steve, all Levante David wants to do at this point is make the playoffs once in his pro career.
It sounds funny to say, but it's sad. It's born from sadness. No, I think it's a perfect pairing. That's why I brought it up. Wanted to get your take. Now, Ira, a couple of business things to get out of the way here. Your podcast, it is available on iTunes, Podbean, Google Play. There are other platforms, and people find it right at joebucksfan.com. You can subscribe. It just gives you a nice free alert, a little heads up, new podcast. So do that and leave a comment where you are if you can. Certain platforms allow it.
We'll try to get a couple of guests during the summer, Steve, to get us through the lean period.
Lean period, Ira. You're going to get fired for saying something. Period, what is that?
Lean period maybe in terms of news, but we will continue to do the podcast.
Plenty to talk about. You know, you've got the biggest Rolodex in sports, which you won't use for this podcast.
We keep going during the 6 or 7 weeks that Buck players scatter, and so do coaches. We keep going.
I'm playing with you, Ira. We have gone year-round, twice a week, for almost 3 years now.
That's right.
No rest for the sage.
Absolutely.
Even though you're coming up on that big 80th birthday, no rest whatsoever.
This is a big year for me, as you well know. And I think you got some crazy things planned for me this summer. We'll see.
A couple of them, that's for sure. All right, Ira. And, of course, Tampa 2 with Derek Brooks on the Identity Tampa Bay. It's been really quite good these last handful of episodes.
I think Brooks is loosening up a little bit, Steve. He's trying.
I think he liked that it was renewed. They're back. We're back.
By nature, he's close to the vest, Steve. You've been around him. By nature, he doesn't give you much. But
I think it's a chemistry thing. It's just chemistry. You guys are in season 2, basically, and it keeps getting better and better.
I'm still basking, Steve, that he mentioned one of my columns. I'm still reveling in that.
Well, you know, I'm watching that segment, and Brooks mentions your columns. Does he say what website it's from? No.
No.
You say, I've written hundreds of columns for that
and you
website.
You pick out one. That's right.
You can't even say the
can't
name.
Can't even say
can't
the
even
name.
Say the name. No respect whatsoever.
I'll make that up to you, Stevie. Don't forget on Spectrum every Monday night. Ira Kaufman of Joe Bucks Fan. You got your plug every
Monday
night.
You're out there, Sage. You're out there. You'll be back on TV again this year.
Be back on Fox Sunday morning.
Is that confirmed?
I believe it's confirmed.
You know, double check that, and then we'll write a story about it.
Okay.
Tailgate Sunday back with Scott
Smith.
That would
be year 3 with Ricky Reynolds. Yeah.
And of course, he'd be a great guy for the podcast, Ira. They just drafted three defensive backs.
That's outstanding.
Can't get me Ricky Reynolds?
Yes, I can.
All right.
Yes, I can.
There's a promise from the Sage. And of course, you'll be back on SiriusXM Mad Dog Radio with Chris Russo every Wednesday. So,
what do Buck fans have on their mind, Steve? What are they thinking about?
They got a hell of a lot on their mind. We've got news. We've got stuff from rookie camp. So we're going to bring in Lee and Zach. And, of course, we're going to get a couple more questions from Zach. He needs more of your
wisdom.
What
was Zach's reaction to our meeting last week at Buffalo Wild Wings? Did he have a good time?
He enjoyed hearing himself on the podcast. He's been learning. He's been counseled by me and Lee all day at practice last couple
of
days.
How are his columns, Steve? You're the guy that's editing it.
He's doing well. He's doing
clean,
well.
Clean copy? You're used to me over
it's
there.
It's not sage clean, but, I mean, clean. You got 63 years of experience, Ira. All right, let's bring him in. All right, so Lee is in from the locker rooms. He's showered. He's ready for the podcast. Lee, we got to go to what we saw last night. Gerald McCoy on Bay News 9, Spectrum, whatever you want to call it. They caught him at the Dickie V Gala. And 30 seconds, he pretty much told Bucks Nation that he doesn't know where he's playing, and he didn't look like a guy enthusiastic to start practicing at One Buck Palace.
I thought it was even more interesting because McCoy didn't say anything, really. He said something, but it was empty. Didn't mean anything. I'll play football somewhere. Well, thanks for helping us out, Gerald. But what I thought was more interesting and more powerful, of course, if you don't say anything is more powerful. But when Arians was asked for a reaction after Saturday's rookie minicamp practice, he curtly said, "I don't comment on people who are not here. You want to ask me about people that are here? I'll talk all day." I thought that was telling. Now, before, he's kind of talked about McCoy. This time, he just wouldn't talk about him.
You know when you hear a line like that?
Bye-bye.
When somebody's holding out. If a player's holding out, that's what you hear, because that's what you should say. I'm coaching the guys that are here. He ain't holding out. He's under contract.
You know what I heard? Remember John McLaughlin? Bye-bye. That's what I heard. That's what I heard. Bye-bye.
Steve, here's my reaction.
The McLaughlin.
Well, wouldn't
by the way.
It be nice for a Buck fan to hear, at some point, either Arians, Light, or McCoy himself kind of say the following. I'm confident we'll work things out. It's a business, but I think we're going to work things out. Is anybody saying that, Steve? What else are we supposed to surmise from this?
No.
Do they want him? Does he want to be here?
That's a hell of a point. I mean, no one's trying to put a positive spin on this. That's a hell of a good point, Ira.
That makes one in the last month over there.
Well, this Ira, this brings me to a very unique interview because of its substance that I saw on Sirius. Now, everybody in the media is very busy after the draft, right? We're all doing our thing. We're tired. You, in your case, you've done a lot of shots and all that other stuff. So it turns out on May 1st, you can't make this stuff up, Ira. On May 1st, Arians was on Sirius with Lance Meadow, off hours kind of thing.
It's a few days after the draft.
Yeah, a few days after the draft, he's talking about the draft. Those were his first comments about the draft. They asked him, they cornered him on Gerald McCoy. What did Arians say? He said, he'll be playing three technique for us, and he doesn't need to be in here because three technique, and you know we'll find a gap for him to explode, and ha, ha, ha. And that's what he said after the draft.
Mixed signals everywhere.
Well, Lee. When Arians said that, that was before JPP's – no, that was right after JPP's wreck, wasn't it?
No, before the wreck.
That was before that. Okay.
And it was within hours of Todd Bowles saying – literally hours – saying it's above his pay grade on whether we want the guy here.
Now, mind you, Saturday afternoon, roughly a day after JPP – well, he didn't say it, but it came out JPP doesn't need surgery. He's probably going to – at best, it's going to be 4 months. At best, that's stretching it. He's not going to be here in September. You figured that. He's not going to be on the field, I should say. At best, he's not going to be here on the field. You could use McCoy. And Aaron's no comment. No, I'm not talking about someone that's not here.
I've come around a little bit to Izbits. It hurts me to say this, gentlemen. but Steve, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe in our previous podcast, you were kind of leaning towards you got to release JPP. You got to release him. Lee? I'm kind of there.
I can certainly understand it. I mean,
there's no guarantee this guy's ever going to play football again.
That's very true. Like I said, they're saying JPP's going to miss X amount of months. That's in a perfect case.
Perfect.
And I listened to Pat Kerwin a couple times of SiriusXM NFL Radio, your old buddy Ira, and this guy was a personnel guy, personnel director of the Jets. He said, you're talking neck injuries. Whoa. And think about it. A guy barely gets a bruised neck in a game, and they're got him strapped up to a board. They're hauling him off. The cops are. I mean, it's a serious thing.
Now, to be fair, Lee,
Ira finishes the buffet, and he needs a collar.
Yeah.
To be fair, John Lynch was dumped by the Bucks in part.
That's true.
Because he had a neck injury. Goes to Denver and plays four more years.
So Bruce Allen claims. And I think, doesn't John Lynch think that was a front?
It might have been exaggerated.
Yeah.
Might have been exaggerated.
Well, you know, it's funny because I wrote that on Joe Bucks Fan recently. I looked it up. Lynch, unless I'm reading it wrong, he had neck surgery, and then he was better. So, I mean, he actually had a neck surgery, bone spurs in his neck, something like that.
He didn't miss a season, though.
He came back from it, and then they were saying it was lingering. And he actually, in 07, it turns out Lynch had an issue in Denver with his neck, but he was able to fight through it. It was dicey.
All things considered, Steve, I think the Bucks have to move on. I think they have to move on.
Well, let me throw the other side of the coin at you, Ira. Now, we did say on the last podcast, I said, look, JPP is going to find a few dudes, a few doctors.
And we knew he would.
Yeah, some healers from Haiti.
Well, but to Lee's point, everything has to be perfect for him to even be playing in September.
Well, to bring the fans up to speed, and we don't know for sure whether they're Haitian healers or not, but I'm assuming they're regular doctors. Here's the thing, Ira. JPP, the current from NFL Network, says 4 months.
Arian says 5 or 6.
Well, 4 months, he will be rechecked. That's September. He'll do his rehab. 4 months, they'll reevaluate. And then it still might be a couple of months from there. That's a long time. But the flip side is, Ira, if he does recover, right, if somehow you go 3-3 and the bye is in week 7, and JPP, you believe, can come back healthy in November, well, now you've got an elite pass rusher coming back.
Fresh,
and he only makes $12.5 million next year, whereas this year it's $14.9 million. We've said on this podcast 100 times, those pass rushers are coveted. You got to cling to them. Is there anything to that point?
Nice try, Isbits. I don't find
I'm not saying
it.
You
I don't
do
find
it.
That a compelling argument, Lee, at this
now,
point.
You know, we're talking about...
If I heard that it was 2 or 3 months, I would lean towards keeping him. Getting him back in November doesn't interest
me. Well, the neck is what scares me more than anything. It's his neck. Now, you know, we're talking about these healers that JPP found. It said, you only need a couple months. Now, the Bucs doctors don't have to buy into this, do they?
Where are the Bucs doctors? Where are the Bucs doctors?
Well,
don't they have final say in whether the guy's healthy enough to play?
Any team is going to leave it up to the player to pick his course of action with any rehab, whatever it is. But it's up to the Bucks doctors to determine whether what they think the proper course of action is, and the team can always fail him on a physical. JPP can't play.
See, that's what I'm talking about. If he comes back after this rehab, whatever it may be, and Bucks doctor's like, whoa, I don't know about this. You know, just because JPP had acupuncture
Could that be too late to recoup your money?
Well, I heard March 17th was the deadline for the $7.5 million.
It's all very confusing, Ira, but we're at $1, and we've moved inside now. Let's head up to the upper floor here and take ourselves to the Glazers. Let's say they do lose. Let's say they lose the $7.5 million that was guaranteed. So that leaves what? $7.5 million. So if that's correct, and we'll call it a likely hypothetical, if that's correct, the Glazers, they can basically say, well, we'll take a $7.5 million roll of the dice. If JPP is healthy, we keep him, and we have a pass rusher next year who can probably a freak of nature athlete. He'll probably still give us 8 or 9 sacks next year when we might believe we're really a playoff team. Is that worth the gamble?
It's very much up in the air, Lee. I mean, you keep coming back. It's the neck. It's the neck. And it's not a twinge.
No.
And it's not a pinched nerve. It's a fractured neck. Now, it may or may not need surgery, but it's a fractured neck. Even though this is a guy who nobody's going to question his pain tolerance after everything he's been through, he's not the punter. He's not the kicker with a fractured
neck.
He's
a lineman.
You're getting smacked every play, 665 times a game. I don't like the way it's shaping up, Lee. I don't like the way it's shaping up. If I'm the Glazers, I know you tend to leave it up to your football people, but this is too dicey for my blood.
This is an act of a desperate football team that they let him play. It's a desperate football team. They're desperate for a pass rush. They're desperate for wins. They're desperate to save jobs. It's a desperate franchise.
It's a fair point.
It's interesting. I would let him go because I think the odds are in your favor. Get another guy in here, move on, whatever. But I would get the gamble. And I don't know how desperate Arians is. I mean, he's not in any hot water.
No, but the guy he works with is.
The guy he works with is, but I don't know if...
And does that, by the way, I mean to interrupt. I was talking to our great intern, Zach. I said, how much does that play into it? Light hoping he's going to be able to play because, you know, I love Jason Light. You can question some of his, you know, some of the decisions he's made. I think he would say that's fair. But the Bucs go 4-12 just because Arians wants him here. That doesn't mean he's going to be here.
Is this a get-out-of-jail card for Light? Could at the end of the year, could he say, freak accident. We didn't have this guy. We didn't have Beckwith. We didn't have JPP.
No.
Could he make that argument,
Stevie? No, look, how many games is JPP going to win you?
Two?
Come on. Two?
So if you go 6-10, you're 6-10.
Maybe one. Maybe I'll give him one.
Now,
we'll see.
Lee, you weren't standing there, but our young intern was, and so was Mr. Isbitt.
Better than an old intern.
I posited a question. Posited.
Positive.
Positive.
Whoa.
Positive. I looked Arians in those beady eyes of his, and I asked him how frustrating it is and how much of an issue it is to have this kind of uncertainty along your defensive line with key components, or would-be key components. I didn't mention McCoy and JPP. He knew who I was talking about.
Yeah, the inference was there.
And, Lee, you know what his answer was, basically? We ain't going into the year with this team. We're going to pick some guys up. We did it in Arizona. He mentioned John Abraham. A late cut. We're taking that guy. We're taking that guy. This team is far from a finished product.
Well, I hope that.
And I think Buck fans like that answer.
Yes, and that's refreshing. I mean, how many times have you seen guys? Now, I know Buck fans, all NFL fans, not just Bucks fans. We deal with Buck fans all the time, so we immediately think of Bucks fans. But there's a guy. He's a great guy. I've never met him, but he's a great guy. Steve and I go back and forth with him on Twitter. Chris Bell is his name. He tips us off some stories. Great guy. He's probably listening to this. Huge, hardcore Bucks fan. Lives in North Carolina. Anyway, anytime he recognizes a name, he'll Twitter us. And like, hey, what do we think this guy will work? You think that guy will work? Just, he recognizes the name. And I'm not singling Chris out, but a lot of fans, they recognize the name. The guy could be horrible for 2 or 3 years going, but they recognize that name. And they immediately ask about so-and-so because... it's a recognizable name. It's a veteran, even though you may be out of gas. But
hey, look what they did with the Nassib pickup, Lee, last year. Nobody
thought
anything of it. I know what you're saying, but he played well.
Yeah, but I'm the only freak that knew about him. Me and maybe half a dozen Penn State fans. Other than that, no one knew who the hell he was.
He did a nice job.
Yeah, but that's a completely different animal. That's not a 8-year veteran that was in a Pro Bowl and has fallen off the cliff. No, a completely different animal. However, having said that, there were some guys out there in the past few years with Light being in charge, and he was, you know, someone could have come in, helped out, at least had depth. Light wouldn't even bring him in for a tryout. Guy goes, signs wherever, and produces.
We're looking towards a very active late August, early September for this football team.
Sage.
And by
Sage.
The way, Light also said, after the draft, when he was getting peppered with questions about a kicker, why didn't you draft a lineman? I think it was Jen Elena asked that. And he kind of chuckled and said, there's other ways to acquire talent. So that goes to what Arian said.
Which, by necessity, they're going to have to be very active. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is.
By necessity.
Well, we don't know. Lee mentioned the comment to Jenna about other ways to get talent. It made me laugh because there's other ways to get kickers. Every other team does it, which was kind of funny. But, you know, Ira, you're talking about not being a finished product, and I agree with you. However, if you keep JPP, you're kind of tight on cash to be this unfinished product to go get a $3 million player that might fall off, a la T.J. Ward years ago, who didn't work out. Bucks paid him like...
But depending on the McCoy situation, Steve, we don't know what's going on there. There's money involved there.
I understand. Just you get a little more freedom as things fall off. I mean, Atlanta's got a couple of guards that... you know, they might drop one of them off pretty quickly.
Lee, it would be nice if the Bucks were well under the cap going into late August or early September.
That reinforces what Steve is saying. If McCoy and JPP go bye-bye, that's roughly $20 million you got to play with, roughly, which they don't have now. They need. Light has told me this in the past, in passing. And in the past, this really didn't mean anything. But Pat Kerwin was talking about just how messed up the Bucks salary cap is. And he said, generally, you want to keep anywhere from $3 to $5 million squirreled away, because sooner or later someone's going to get hurt. You have to have money to go sign these guys, because even though a player is on IR, salary still goes against salary cap. They don't even have that. So as we speak right now, the Bucks couldn't even pick up a slumlord on the streets to play linebacker because they have no money.
All right, Sage, I want to take you into rookie minicamp. Something the new kid, who actually we've been calling
the new kid, Zach.
Well, there's a lot of kids now on the field. Zach's not on the field yet. He's getting your coffee right now. Your beet infused coffee.
By the way, hold on. I have to stop this right now. I was just accosted outside in the corridors of One Buck Place.
By Martin Fennelly?
By a combination of Martin Fennelly and Fred Goodall. And Fred Goodall, who was nice enough to get me a coffee.
He got you a coffee.
Last week at Panera Bread, and brought it into, left it on the table, and I went out and got it. He says that I went and got that coffee. I came back in here, and I used the phrase, my gopher, Fred Goodall.
Oh.
And I said, absolutely not, Fred. That's too demeaning. I'm not going to use that. Might say scrub. No, I'm kidding. But he's making stuff up. And I want to say right here and now that I appreciate Fred going to Panera Bread and taking the time to get me that coffee. But I never use that word gopher. I would never use that, DeKemper.
Everybody's fascinated.
Let's make that clear over
by
there,
your 40-year friendship with Fred Goodall. All right. Now, Sage,
friendship might be a little bit strained, but go ahead.
You've been to so many of these rookie mini camps. You've observed so many coaching staffs. I want to run this past you, Sage. Now, the second round pick, Sean Bunting, on his uniform, it says Murphy Bunting, yep. And that's how he's going. So we got to call him Murphy Bunting, unless we come up with a nickname.
What did he get married or something? What do you mean, Murphy Bunting? What's going on here?
I don't know. All right. I don't know. But, you know, what did he get married?
that's a whole other subject.
All right, Sage. Now, he said yesterday that after he was drafted, cornerbacks coach Kevin Ross called him every single day after the draft to talk football, called him at 6 a.m., 6:30, drilling him with questions about the playbook. The kid's actually answering the phone, which I thought was fantastic.
Yeah, 6 a.m.
You're not going to get in trouble for not picking it up, you know. And the coach is drilling into him, look, you got to be ready to compete. Just because you were drafted, you're not coming in for 10 days. You got to be all over this and be ready. Was this stuff going on with the Mike Smith regime? Was Mike Smith calling these rookies? Was it going on in the Gruden administration? What do you take out of that?
Lee, I dare say.
That's Steve.
I'm talking to you, though.
Oh,
great story on that front, real quick. At the draft party, because you know how you
just interrupted the Sage.
Say, this is too funny. I don't want to forget it. At the draft party, and you know how you mix up names on the podcast? Somebody called me Lee Isbitz. They introduced me to somebody because you mixed the names.
And did I correct them?
No. You weren't there. Go ahead.
Lee, what I was about to say is, without knowing for certain, and you don't know for certain, but our instincts tell us that sense of urgency was not there under the Mike Smith defensive regime, the Lovie Smith defensive regime. There's some new sheriffs in town. They're taking their job very seriously, and I think it's the biggest reason Buck fans have for optimism. It's not about Jameis Winston. It's not about Peyton Barber. It's about the coaching staff. That's why people are hopeful, Lee. This coaching staff getting the most out of this roster.
I saw something, Friday. I'm not saying this never happened before, but it's the first time that I noticed it. Myra, you've seen this too many times to count. You know, when you got defensive linemen or offensive line coaches, and they're, you know, pretending to snap the ball, they have a football and a broomstick, and they use it to mimic the snap. Well, Friday, Casey Rogers, defensive line coach, who was hired by Bill Parcells. That's how you guys break in the NFL. He was mimicking hard counts for rookie drills in the middle of May. And I just thought, whoa, that's attention to detail. He's doing hard counts. And for people who don't know hard counts are, that's when a quarterback, when he's barking signals, will periodically scream a word or scream a hut or something to get the line to jump off, like Swaggy Baker and Cam Newton.
And the Bucks have had that problem.
Well, they've had a lot
not
of
just
problems,
rookies.
But was just impressed with the attention to detail.
Yeah.
Now other coaches may have done that. I've never noticed it before, and I just thought that's attention to detail. That's coaching, and I was very impressed with that. Again, I could be dead wrong. They could have done it last year. I just never heard it, never noticed it. But that is attention to detail.
And we're about to see Steve next week. I believe it's Tuesday. Arians can't wait. Talks about it, you know, incessantly. getting these guys out on the field, including the rookies, and having two fields going at the same time with this enlarged coaching staff of 87 people, including two women, right? And he can't wait to get out there.
They're people.
Yeah, he can't wait to get out there. We'll see about this attention to detail.
Speaking of
that. You know when it counts? September 10th.
Absolutely, yeah. It's all a bunch of chit-chat till then, but that's football. Sage, I'm watching.
I will suggest attention to detail is significant.
Oh, sure, sure. But for us, it's just chatter.
Oh, you know what I mean? For us, it's like, you know, can we see some hitting, please? Can September come here?
But speaking of attention to detail, Ira, and maybe it's just me, but you see Bruce Arians. I've watched him now the last couple of days cruising around all over on his golf cart.
The Bobby Bowden golf cart.
And, you know, he moves around station to station. Makes sense. He can save time.
Observing.
Save time with that golf cart. But he's there alone. Nobody really joins him in the cart, and he's watching. I've never seen the guy, and this is just my time watching him. And believe me, most of the time I'm spending looking at him when nothing much is going on the field. In this rookie camp, he's not taking notes.
Is he talking to anybody?
Not really. No, I mean,
like on a cell phone or
no,
something?
No, I haven't seen him on a thing. He occasionally gets out and says something, but
I saw him talking to Light for a while today. Not long, but periodically.
Jason Light comes to visit him, but it
Light ain't making any tackles, Lee. He ain't making any
Now,
tackles.
I understand that everything's on video. All the he could watch, and he's going to watch video practice with his coaches and get reports and target in on guys, but it just seemed a little odd, you know? You know, scribble a number down on a note. I don't know. It seemed odd.
Lee, here's his chance to make an impact on teaching a new technique to a kid. And
Periodically he hops out of the golf cart to talk to a player or a coach. Periodically, but not often. But at one point in practice today, I had my binoculars on him. He was on the far end of the field, and I was just watching what Steve was watching for. I was watching him, and he had a roster in his left hand, and he was like a hawk. His head was jerking around constantly, looking at that player, looking at that player, looking at that player, looking at that player, and then looking down on his roster. He was like a hawk. Now, at one point, he got out of his cart, and the quarterback, you know, was dropping back. It looked like he was monitoring his footwork because he wasn't looking up. He was looking down. And I'm like, the only reason you would look down is to watch the footwork. And here's a quick story for you. There was a scout, a great a story about a scout with the Bears. He's been there 35, 40 years. And he said he saw Tom Landry looking down when he was scouting players. And finally went up to Landry. He goes, what are you looking at? You're always looking down. He goes, the ankles tell the story.
Wow.
Now, what story that is, I don't know. But that's coming from
Landry.
Tom Landry
was a heck of a good player and a heck of an assistant coach for the Giants before he got the Dallas job. He knew his football.
And a fabulous talent evaluator.
Yes.
Ira, your ankles look horrible, I must say. I took a quick
Steve,
look.
Now, Steve, when you had the specs on Arians, he wasn't gnawing on a corned beef sandwich while he was in that.
No,
thing,
no.
Was he?
No snacks. Doesn't drink a lot of water in there. I don't see him smoking or
is he hydrating?
No bourbon, nothing like that.
Right.
The guys, he was wearing long sleeves and like a sweatsuit out there today.
Yeah.
It's awfully hot. Strange look, but
well,
you know
be,
what?
And his he cap. Doesn't want to take too much sun. May not want to take
I'm not trying to invent any negativity, Ira. It's just an odd look for us getting used to watching a football coach cruising around in his golf cart, and it's odd for me only because we all heard about when he was hired, went in for the physical, he's in great shape.
$1 million.
He got a C, one of his best grades in years. It's just odd to see him, and the best I can tell, because he had long pants on today, he's not wearing those trademark super high socks, which was his thing in Arizona. Now, there's a lot of time left, and it doesn't mean much, but it's interesting. It's just a strange look. Just a little nugget from practice. Casey Rogers, Lee's favorite assistant coach, he was really screaming at these guys for more violent hands. And he seemed to just totally love the Beckner, is it? The seventh round pick? The defensive tackle.
Yeah.
He loves his hands, but was all over him about his hips. Just loves the guy's
hands.
Loves the hands. Hates the hips. Yeah. Now, I wanted to ask you this, Ira, before we bring in young Zach, the intern, to learn his lessons from you today. Hope you're up for it. Last time, you get a C-minus last
C-minus.
Time. C-minus.
I never even mentioned the restaurant. Just told him to have
fun. You started talking about yourself. You're trying to counsel the young. But I guess he should learn from you.
Well, I told a great story about Logan. Yeah, you didn't expect that.
Suspenders is classic. Yeah, suspenders. It's a classic.
Carolyn Clancy.
Carolyn Clancy. Still remember.
Now, you've been around a long time. And these rookie mini camps come. And the players come in. They get their jerseys. And nobody ever gets a 99 that I can remember. You know how that goes. And certain jerseys aren't out there. Well, they gave a really big, overweight guy, kind of sloppy looking for football anyway, gave him number 93, and he's out there. They put him right in front of the media yesterday, Ira, because they have the defensive line.
You don't miss a trick, Gisman.
They have the defensive line drills set up in front of the media. That was just their location because we're not allowed everywhere, which I don't understand why, but that's another story. There he is, sloppy number 93 with his hands on hips most of practice, including today. Is that, what do you make of that? Anything? Is that anything?
Did he have violent hands, Steve? Did he have violent hands?
Lee, yes, I saw that guy.
Lee, again, we don't want to read too much into things. Sometimes we're guilty of these things, especially when it's the slow part of the season. But, Lee, if this organization really wanted the real 93 back in training camp and for week one, you know, they're doing a heck of a job of disguising it, Lee. They're doing a hell of a job. I mean, and who's watching everything? Freaking McCoy. He's watching everything that moves.
Well, can I throw fuel on this speculation fire? There was also a guy out there wearing 90.
It's just interesting, Ira. I don't know. It's just, you know, but here's the thing, as which makes it a little bit more strange, and you never really know if this is even strange, but it's just fun to think about. I'm uncrinkling my paper, Ira. I know you love when I have paper.
I see that.
Nobody had 94 or 92. You had to give the guy 93.
Well, you can't give 92. That's Will Golston. You can't insult Will Golston. You may continue, Steve.
All right, Sage. All right, we've got intern Zach is here, Zach Seifter.
He's been writing up a storm, Steve.
Been a busy man, busy man. Sage, you should read his latest work from today. I know you haven't done it yet, but, you know, we've got a guard on the roster from South Carolina, one of the few guys who actually has put his hand in the dirt. And his name is Zach Bailey out of South Carolina.
This guy shows anything, he should be competing for a job.
Undrafted free agent, big body, 6'5", 299. Played
Zach,
in the SEC.
Heck of an opportunity. Zach, if you're a guard on this football team, right guard. Of course, not left guard. So,
that's exactly what I wrote about. If he shows up at all during the offseason and training camp, he might have himself a shot at a starting job at right guard.
What's the competition, Lee? You got Watford. Who?
All right, enough of your Watford, right? You love Watford.
I love saying that word.
The young man has his questions out. You got two questions today, Zach, for the Sage. Make them count. Learn.
What happened to Watford?
Come on, enough of the Watford.
All right.
Well, Sage, I'm 20 years old, and I can't remember the last playoff when this team had the Super Bowl. I was 4 years old when that happened. And my question to you is, what do you have to say for the young Bucks fans like myself who really just don't remember any success that this team has had? We can't remember it. I was 9 years old the
Zach,
last time they were in the playoffs.
I can tell you this. The last time they won a playoff game, which was that glorious day in San Diego, I brought my wife out and my kid. I had to buy two tickets. I think it cost me $1,200. But that's all right. They had a ball out there, and they were sitting in the Bucks section. You know what I would tell you? The Bucks own this town. They did. They owned this town back then and for a long time. And then all of a sudden, you got the stories about the guy leaving two tickets on his window and going into Kmart. He came and with a sign that said, help yourself. He came out and there were four tickets there. That's the way things have changed. And that's a true story. You don't have to make that up. And it can happen. Zach, you know, we really haven't seen it. And it wouldn't take much. A couple of playoff appearances. The interest is always going to lag behind the success by a bit. But we've seen it happen here before. The NFL is king. So, you know, just on an even playing field, all the Bucks have to do is be pretty good, and they'd run this town. Have some faith. Every year there's five new playoff teams. It's got to happen to the Bucks one of these years.
You'd like to think, wouldn't you?
You would.
All right, Zach, what else you got? Interesting, Ira. We are hearing from the Lost Generation, as Lee has dubbed it, of Bucks fans. The Lost Generation.
Nice, Lee. Nice.
And my next question, I actually asked Lee about this earlier, and he told me about his broom and his ladder. How do you take care of your car during the love bug season? I can't do it.
Well, I went into the car wash yesterday. I shoved 8 quarters in. I did the high-pressure wash. It did very little. I shoved in another 8 quarters, and I used the foaming brush. Lee, the infamous foaming brush. And I scraped the grill, and I got nothing except arthritis in my right elbow. That's all I got.
Well, my buddy's bought his own foaming brush.
Zach, I think the answer is you got to go and shove your $7 or $8 into a legitimate car wash and hope that gets the job done. And it's good for about 3 days, and then you get the whole cycle starts again. Oof. I got absolutely killed by love bugs because we made a drive to Palm Coast. It's a 3-hour drive across the state and going north, a little north of Daytona. By the time I got to Palm Coast, I couldn't see out my windshield, Lee. I felt, you know, I was driving like Isbitz did in Phoenix a couple of years ago. It was horrible. No, I don't forget, Steve. I don't forget.
All right, good stuff, Zach. I hope you learned a lot there. And he's growing up before our eyes.
The answer is put your money into a real car wash.
Seriously, Ira, though, you know, that lost generation of Bucks fans is a real thing. I hope Team Glazer is listening. These kids endured blackouts. And, you know, I was thinking with the love bugs, Ira, with your silver car you drive around. By the time you got home, silver and black, people thought you were a Raiders fan, turning back to your buddy Chucky. It must have been hilarious.
You know, Steve, speaking of lost generation, it wasn't that long ago when the Lightning were terrible. And I know because I covered them 2 years in 99 and 2000. Steve Ludzik was the coach. He was replaced in the middle of the second year by a guy named John Tortorella, who came in. Steve, there was about 6 or 7 years when the Lightning stunk. Couldn't give away a seat at the arena.
I remember they used to, average attendance was like 11,000.
Couldn't give away a seat.
So it was bad.
You got to win. Look, this is not Pittsburgh Steeler Nation. Win or lose, they're going to show up. The Giants football team, you're giving season tickets down generation to generation as gifts. This is Florida, and Miami's not any better. Miami's a notorious fair-weather market, and Tampa Bay's the same way, Steve.
Open competition, they're saying. Josh Rosen and Ryan Fitzpatrick. Oh, boy. All right. Sage, Lee wrote this up, and it's worth a discussion point here. John Breach of CBS Sports suggested the Buccaneers might want to move towards Solomon Thomas. He speculated that the 49ers, and he's their number three overall pick back in 2017, would dump this guy for a fifth-round pick. And much like Josh Rosen, there's not much money due a super cheap, less than $1 million a year to Solomon Thomas. Do you jump on that if you're the Bucks?
Lee, probably worth a look. Probably worth a look if you can get him cheap.
He can't be worse than Golston.
There was a reason he was the number three pick in terms of his skill set. And again, it goes back to my point. People are relying on this coaching staff to spark this turnaround. They're not expecting any kind of crazy things. You know, all of a sudden, some guy's going to find a fountain of youth or something. It's all about development. Maybe they can develop Solomon Thomas. If it's a fifth-round pick, I'm interested.
Oh, yeah, it's a fifth-round pick, especially this team. That's a throwaway pick.
And I think he is available. The rumblings out of San Fran is they've soured on him.
Now, Lynch publicly denies that, but it's the public and private are two different animals.
Well, they sure have built up the pass rush around him.
Exactly.
And I don't think he's part of the mix.
It doesn't sound like it. I'm a big believer in Casey Rogers. Everywhere Casey Rogers, the Bucs defensive line coach, everywhere he's been, he's had success, and he learned from the master, Bill Parcells. So I trust Casey Rogers. Todd Bowles, I don't know yet. But Casey Rogers, I do trust him.
Steve, am I wrong? But
yes.
Was Brenson right. Buckner the D-line coach for Arians that first year in Arizona?
Yeah, he was there several years.
I don't know. So my question is, why wasn't Buckner retained?
We don't know that until we talk to Buckner, who will surely give an answer.
Why wouldn't Arians retain Buckner if he's got history with him?
I don't know if it was Arians. I think it might have been Bowles. Bowles may not have wanted him. Okay. Now, as much as I like Buckner, if I had to take a pick between Buckner and Casey Rogers, I'm Casey Rogers.
Buckner did not do a bad job last year with that pass rush.
No, he did not. But Casey Rogers has a much better resume.
Okay.
My guess is Casey Rogers was the Jets defensive coordinator last year, handpicked obviously by Bowles. So Bowles wanted his guy.
So Bowles wanted him. Okay.
Wanted his guy. Okay. And I don't think it's anything more than that. And of course, Buckner is now working for Chucky. You know how that goes. All right, Ira, look, I'm going to put you on the spot here.
What else is new, Zach?
By the way, Rogers was never in Arizona.
We'll leave this podcast on your sage wisdom. Thank you to Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brand, and their websites. Get those Memorial Day offers that end at the end of this month, period. EdMorseCadillacTampa.com, EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com.
Those are the best offers you're going to get from Ed Morse Cadillac, so go take advantage.
All right, Sage, look, Jameis Winston is back in the building. Tuesday starts the OTAs. The whole team involved. Here comes Jameis.
Voluntary.
But Jameis gets the rookies in here and the whole crew is in. And it's the OTA session, which is a little different than the previous phases. Are we going to see a different Jameis? Is there a type of Jameis you expect to see? Do you plan to see some of the forceful leadership maybe he didn't have last year? Like when in training camp, when he sort of felt like a guy in the background when Cutter said you got to lead from the rear. What kind of Jameis do you expect to see?
I think you're going to see the Jameis of the first 3 years, and maybe not last year because of that suspension. That shook him up and changed him a little bit. Can't knock the passion out of Jameis Winston. It's part of his DNA. I'm hoping you can knock the picks out of Jameis Winston. But the passion is what drives the guy, and part of what got Buck fans, you know, so excited about him when he was drafted, and part of what's got Arians so excited about working with him. Late, I see the same Winston I see the first 3 years. Can't wait to get out there. Can't wait to compete. Maybe a little bit over the top. You live with it. If he's not turning the ball over, you live with it very nicely.
Yeah.
You know, that's the key. So I'm not too worried about his attitude. You're going to see the Jameis Winston of 2015 rejuvenated.
Ooh.
like a kid in a candy store. And speaking of that, I remember you, Lee, in those candy stores, you swiped the licorice when the guy's had his back turned. You remember what you did at 8 years old. You also did it when you were 16. Get out of here, Steve.